Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos, Daf Chaf Dalad. We will begin on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. The Mishnah discussed the situation of Uzeh Shnayim, Uzeh Shnayim. Again, as we discussed in our previous shiur in the Mishnah, we were referring to a situation where there are two brothers, two individuals, who were Mekadosh, each one of them were Mekadosh, a woman of two sisters, and then they died without children, and they don't know who are their wives. So the Mishnah says that the proper thing to do is one of the brothers of these individuals should do chalitza on one of the sisters, and one of the brothers of the second individual who was a Mekadosh, who married a woman, should do chalitza on the second woman. And then the two other brothers who are left, each one of them should do yibum, can do yibum, on the remaining wife. That means the brother of the first Mekadesh should do yibum on the second wife, and then the same thing should go on the other woman. So now what would happen is each woman, each one of the brothers, each one of the two pairs of brothers, one brother will be doing chalitza, and one brother will do Yibum. And this is really the same concept that we've learned throughout the Mishnah, that when there are two brothers and left to the man who isn't sure who is his wife, one brother should do Chalitza first, and the other brother should do Yibum first. But ask the Gemara, Hasul Lamali, what is the point in our Mishnah of teaching us this din? We've already learned this concept earlier in the Mishnah. It's the same principle, answers the Gemara. Ma'adu teima ligzer dimu b'yam b'loi chalitza. As we just explained, it's critical that first each one of the brothers should do a chalitza, and after each one of the brothers does a chalitza, then the other brother could do yibum. But we're concerned that maybe they're going to forget to do the yibum, the chalitza first, and therefore, because they're going to think, since ultimately each one of these two remaining brothers is going to do chalitza, is going to do a yibum, there's no necessity to do a chalitza first. Kamash Milan, that we're not concerned with that. Ask the Gemara, our Mishnah is teaching us that these two brothers that don't know who their wives are, and they each are leaving a pair of brothers, each one of them does chalitza and then yibum. Mishnah, but why is this different from Mahadat? Now we're going to learn a Mishnah in Mitzvah Shema Daf Chav Vav and Beis that discusses Arba Achim, four brothers, Shnai Mem Lasum L'Shtai Yechoyes. We have two brothers married to two sisters, Umesim HaNasum HaSechoyes. The two brothers who are married to the two sisters die without children, and now we have these two women who have to have, who were left with having shemer, being shemeres shavim. The halacha is harei el cholzos v'lo mishabmos. The only option available to them is chalitza and not yibum. In our Mishnah, when we have a very similar situation, our Mishnah has given them an option that as long as each one of the remaining brothers does chalitza first, then they could do yibum afterwards. Why in that Mishnah was that option not available? Answers the Gemara Hashka. The two situations are dissimilar. Hasam Ilaman Damer Yesika. According to the Man Damer that we've been discussing in our Shurim that says that Yesika, so what happens here is that each one of them is a Choy Sukkah Kasai, because the two sisters are obligated to have Yibam to the two brothers. And if we hold of the concept of Zika, what has happened there? Each one of these sisters is obligated to have Yibum by each one of the brothers. So when the brother will do Yibum with one of the sisters, he's marrying a Choy Sukkah Kasai. And as we keep on explaining in our Shurim, what Zika really means is it's somewhat, not completely of course, like a marriage. And of course, just like we keep on reviewing that you're not allowed to marry a Choy Ishtoi, you're not allowed to marry a Choy Sukkah Kasai. Hey, but here, there is no definite Zika, because we don't know who married whom. V'ilaman d'am osl v'atl matzus yavamim, that we're concerned that if one brother will do Yibum, then the next, then if one brother does chalitza, and then the other brother will do yibum, but what happens if the first brother, what happens if he dies before he could have the opportunity to do something? So we're going to be left with a situation where, when after the first brother did yibum, the second brother will have passed away, and now we will end up that that second woman did not have the mitzvah of yibum done to her. And there's aloch oslovat mitzvah yivamim. Hacha, whereas in our Mishnah, you don't have these concerns because everybody, as we said a moment ago, is a question because we don't know who is really the wife of whom. And therefore, kol chad v'chad, each one of these two brothers, Amer is able to say the day the Kamas Ramile, that the one he did Yibam to is the proper one, and there was no Achoysa Kuka. And since there was no Achoysa Kuka, definitely Achoysa Kuka, so that's why we could be more lenient in our Mishnah than in that Mishnah that we're going to learn further. So we just discussed that when two brothers don't know who their wives are, and they leave two other brothers, so the halacha is that, again, giving reviewing the case that we began our share with, you have two pairs of brothers. Each one of them, one brother should do chalitza to a woman, and the other one could do yibum to the other one, and so too. But we learned in the Mishnah that if the two brothers of the one who was Mekadeshah did chalitza on the two sisters, because then the brothers of the other man should not do anything, should not do yibum, because he may end up being with Achaisa Kukasai. But we learned further in the Mishnah, if the two brothers did yibum after the two brothers, they did yibum, because then the halacha will be that it will be acceptable. Because after the first brother from the first pair did yibum, there is no zika to her anymore. Tana, Shila, says Shila that this halacha that we just discussed applies a filish shneim kahanim, that even though the halacha is the kohen may not marry a chalutza, here one of them is marrying a chalutza, but we don't know which is the proper chalitza. Because again, to review the case, Amish is speaking about that you have two brothers left over from the two husbands that don't know who their wives are. And we said that each brother, one from each pair of brothers, one should do chalitza and one should do yibam. If two brothers of one of these deceased men did chalitza to the two sisters, then the second pair of brothers from the other deceased man should not be able to do yibam at all. But if that's not what happened, if the two brothers went and married the two sisters, two different brothers married the two sisters, we allow them to remain married. Because even though when the first brother of the second deceased man did yibum, he shouldn't have done yibum because she may be a chos kukasoi. She may not be the woman that he has zika with. Once they married, we laid them both to remain married, both brothers of the second husband. But let's think about this. Tana Shila, Vafilu Shneim Kohanim. Even if the two brothers of the second deceased man are Kohanim, now one of them married a woman who's a Chalutza. One of them is married to Chalutza because one of these women were married indeed to the first of the two men. We just don't know who it was. But one of the chalitza was 100% a valid chalitza. So, and we know a kohen may not be married to chalitza. So ask the Gemara, my Tama, why are we taking the approach that they can remain remarried? A kohen is not a married chalitza, answered the Gemara, because the isser for kohen to marry chalitza is an isser de rabbanan. The suffix, and here we're dealing with a situation where it's a suffix. And a suffix chalitza was a situation of Safi Chalutza, Loi Gozer Rabbonim. Ask the Gemara, but this is all built on the premise that the Issa Chalitza, the Issa for Chalutza to marry a Kohen is only the Rabbonim. Ask the Gemara, isn't, well, that's incorrect. Vatanya Grusha, the Pasuk says, Isha zayin v'chalol lo yikachu, v'isha grusha m'isha lo yikachu, ki kodeshu l'alakov, anyway, ala grusha. This halacha only teaches us the halacha by a grusha, chalutza minayin. How do we know that a kohen may not marry chalutza? Tamalayma v'isha. The pasuk says v'isha, that extra vav comes to teach us that a kohen is not allowed to marry chalutza. So why are we being so lenient? Answers the Gemara. The issur for kohen to marry chalutza is only midrabbanan. And this pasuk that we just pointed out, krop, is only in a smak ba'alma. So our Gemara says that, as Rashi explains, that even though a kohen is not allowed to marry chalutza, here, where they got married to the woman, and it's a suffix, therefore, we are lenient. But, as the Rishonim explain, that if it was a situation where, let's say, somebody was Mekadosh one of five women, and he died, that the halacha is that they all are required to have chalitza. So the halacha is the kohen lechatchila should not marry such a woman. But if he married her, as we learn in our Gemara, we are allowed to remain. But in a situation such as a kohen that had a baby, and then we don't know if he died within 30 days. So now the question is, did this man leave a child or not? So there, the halach is that even that the woman is supposed to have chalitza, because there, says the Chochmah Shleima, she could even be married to this man. Because there, it's even less of a suffix. And since it's less of a suffix, Chazal were even, under those circumstances, more lenient. Continues the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Mitzvah begad liyavin. The mitzvah is for the oldest brother to do yibum. However, says the Mishnah, from Kodma Kotten, if one of the younger brothers does the yibum, zocha, it's acceptable. However, says the Ritva, quoting the Ramban, that this halacha that we're saying, the mitzvah begad liyavin, is only said where all things are equal. But let's say the older brother comes with a reason not to do yivam. For example, one example I saw Rishonim say is that he's married, and we have the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershon. Or if the older brother suggests mitzvah, is already married, and in those times they were allowed to have two wives. But obviously, having two wives is not a simple situation. So in order to avoid that, and there's a younger brother who's not married, or different reasons why that marriage is an easier marriage to explain. So therefore, one of the younger brothers should do chalitza, should do the yibam. On the other hand, bizman hazeh, where we all do chalitza, explained the Rishonim, so it doesn't make a difference. So we go back to the original halacha that we just discussed, that it's preferable that the older brother should be the one should do the chalitza. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk says, "V'haya b'char asher teila jokum Hashem ochav." Says the Gemara, we learn from the words "V'haya b'char," we can shemitzvah begal liyavin. The mitzvah is for the oldest brother to do yivam. Asher teila prat l'ailun Hashem yoledes. If the brother who passed away was married to a woman who's an ailness, who is unable to have children, we don't do yivam. Jokum Hashem echav l'nachla. The halacha is that the brother who does the yibum gets the Yerusha, we'll speak about this more later in the shir, of the brother who died. At the Oymer Nachla, says the Braisa, is that what the Pasuk means, that he gets his shir in the Yerusha, or in El Hashem? Maybe what it means to say is that the child that will be born from when the Yavam does yibum will be called the same name as the brother who died. That means, Yosef, if the brother who died was called Yosef, the child that will be born, Kornos so Yosef. Yochanan, the person who died was called Yochanan, Kornos so Yochanan, the child that will be born will be called Yochanan. Says the Gemara, Namakan Yaakov Hashem Echav. Here the Pasuk says, regarding the mitzvah of Yibum, Yaakov Hashem Echav. V'nemel halen, al shem acheyem yikar ben achnasam. Ma shem ha'omel halen. Just like the word shem over there is referring to Nachal, to Hilchas Yerusha, Af Shema Amakan, says the Gemara, when it says the word shame here, it's teaching us Hilchas Nachla. V'lay Machas Shmai, says the Gemara, Prat L'Saris, it's coming to teach us that if the person who passed away was a Saris, that he was not able to have children, Shmai Machui, and there is no din of Yibum. The Aruch HaNes says, is talking about that this person who passed away was a Saris, and teaching us that if the person who passed away was a Saris, there is no mitzvah of Yibum. The Halacha, that if the person who's going to come do the Yibum is a Saris, that we learn that from a different pasuk, that an individual who's a Saris is not a person who could do Yibum. Moreover, explained the Rishonim, that when we say here that a Saris doesn't do Yibum, what's meant to say is his wife is not a candidate for Yibum is a person who was born a Saris. But if somebody became a Saris later on, then the halacha is that then that person's wife is obligated to have Yibum. Amar Rava, so Rava makes a very important statement. Avgad b'chol ha-Torah kula, even though we have a rule throughout the Torah, a mikra by Yaitzel de Peshutai, the pasuk should always be understood as it says. Hachi asa gzeres shava, here the gzeres shava is doing something very powerful. Vafikte mipashto l'gamri. The gzeres shava, even though the pasuk pshat in the pasuk is seeming to indicate that the child that's born should have the name of the deceased brother, here we're learning that that is not halacha. Vilav hagzeres shava, because were we not learning the gzeres shava, havamina shame mamish, we would say pshat in the pasuk is that the child born from this yibum should be given the name of the deceased brother. Now, says the Gemara, how could you say that? Leman kol ma'azer rachmona. If you would say that that's pshat in the pasuk, let's drill down and see how we could understand the pasuk. If the Torah is speaking to the Yavam, and the Torah is telling the Yavam that when you have a child with the Yavama, give him the name of your brother who passed away, so then the pasuk should have said, Yokum al shem achichem ebayle. That if that's what the pasuk was trying to say, that he should have said, Yokum al shem achicha, give a name like your deceased brother. Vila beidina, and if the Torah is speaking to the Bezdin, and telling the Bezdin, make sure that the Yavam is going to give a name after his deceased brother, so it should have said, Yokum Hashem Aichi Avami Beile, make sure that the child that's born will be given that name, says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, that Posh Pshat must mean that the Torah is telling us, give the name, and just the Gzeres Shavah tells us differently. How can we suggest that that's the Pshat in the Pasuk? Says the Gemara, why not? The Dama Hakka Kamal Rechman al Bezdin. Maybe the way to understand the Pasuk is, Emru Leil Yavim, tell the Yavim, Yokum Hashem Achiv. Tell the Yavim that the child that he will have with the Yavama should have his brother's name. So that's how we would learn Posh Pshat in the Pasuk. Rather comes the Gzeres Shavah, the Fikte Legamri, and the Pasuk tells us no, the Gzeres Shavah tells us no, that is not what we do. Rather what we do is we get the Yerusha, but nothing to do with the name. And as I saw, Rabbi Aaron Cutler explains the pasuk, the Gemara here. He uses a very powerful pshat. He says that throughout Shas, there are numerous gzeir shavis and different lemudim that help us understand pshat and a pasuk. So is this the first time that we encounter a gzeir shava that the Gemara makes this kind of a comment? Says Rabbi Aaron, that throughout the pshat in this Gemara is much deeper. That throughout Shas, when we have a Gzeres Shavah, the Gzeres Shavah, says Rabbi Aaron, is not to be understood as if the Gzeres Shavah is modifying what the Pasuk means. The Gzeres Shavah is telling us that that is the Pasuk Pshat in the Pasuk. Not that we have Pasuk Pshat and now we have a Gzeres Shavah. On the contrary, the Gzeres Shavah reveals that that is Pshat in the Pasuk. This is an exception to that rule, says Rabbi Aaron. And here, the Gemara is saying, Rav is saying that the Gzeres Shavah is to be followed, even though it's not the Pashup Shat. So now we have a whole new understanding of what Gzeres Shavah or any one of the other Limudim we have in Shas is. The Limudim aren't on top of the Pashup Shat. The Limudim teach us What is the Pasuk Pshat? So our Gemara says that the Pasuk does not require us to give the child born the name of the parent who passed away. But what is going to be the halacha? Even though we're not required to do so, is there a point to do so or not? And I saw it's actually an interesting machlokes. The Maram Chagas that comes to teach us tells us that even though the Gemara just said that we're not obligated to do it, it's the right thing to do. However, I saw that the others, other Chroinim say that on the contrary, one should not specifically give that name. There's a story that the Zohar brings down. The Rav Idi Bar Yaakov had a son that was born through Yibum, and they gave this baby, this boy, a name after the brother, the uncle who passed away. And when Rav Abba heard this thing, he said, it's very important to change his name and not let him remain with the name of the name of that person who passed away. I did see that there are others that discuss this situation, and that the Gra discusses it, and others discuss it, and they suggest that what you should do is give the name of the deceased, and besides giving the name of the person who passed away, also add another name. So you've really accomplished everything. You've given a name, you've given the name of the person who unfortunately is no longer here. And on the other hand, even though you've given that name, it's not the exact name, so you have the Pash Pshan and the Pasuk and the Gzeir Shava both accomplished. Ask the Gemara. Hashtag the Amit, but now that our Mishnah and Gemara has established that the mitzvah of Yibim is supposed to be done by the oldest brother. Hashtag the Amit Kro Begoluksiv. Ema, maybe we should understand the Pasuk to be teaching us. Bechol Yabim, that if there's a Bechor, Yibim should take place. Pashit, but if there is no Bechol Yabim. Answers the Gemara, if that is the case, Im Kain Eshes Achav Shlahai Be'lomoy, Demit Rachmona, in our previous shurim, we've discussed that a brother who did not coexist in the world with a brother who died, there is no din of Yibam. But by definition, the brother who wasn't here when the first brother was here, obviously is a younger brother. And if we're going to say that a younger brother never has a chiv yibum, so why would we need that pasuk? The fact that we have a pasuk to teach us that an eishes achav shlahayu ba'lomai is not chayiv in yibum is clearly an indication that the mitzvah of yibum applies even to younger brothers. Says the Gemara, bar ravacha. Maybe what the pasuk means to say is lamute bukhur de'ima, that only the oldest brother could do Yibum. Why would there be a need to teach us Eichas Achav Shloi Balamai? Because I would use it to teach us a case where the brother who was not in the world is a Bechor from the mother's side. And that's why he is a Bechor, but he's not in the world at the same time. Says the Gemara, we don't need a pasuk to tell us that such an individual is not a candidate to do Yibum. Hahu lo motzot amrit. The Yibum, whenever we speak about Yibum, benachlo tala rachmona, it's always connected to Hilchos Yerusha, benachlo mena av v'loy mena ein. And when we speak about Yerusha, Yerusha is always from the father's side and not from the mother's side. But it continues the Gemara to ask, Veima, maybe what the Torah means to say is, ki ike b'chor, when does a b'chor tiskayim mitzvah Yibum? That is a circumstance where the mitzvah Yibum will be fulfillable, even by a younger brother. However, if the person who passed away, like a Bechor, did not leave over a brother the Bechor, then maybe like the sign mitzvah Yibum, there is no mitzvah Yibum at all. Says the Gemara Amikra, the Pasuk says, Umeis Echad Mehem. The Torah speaks about one of the brothers died. Now, isn't Peshat in that Pasuk, Milo Yaskinen, isn't Peshat in the Pasuk, Pasha Peshat in the Pasuk, the Mis Bechor, that the older brother passed away, and still, Omer Rachmana, the Torah Akdosh tells us, Liyabim Katan, to do Yibim on the younger brother. So we clearly see that the younger brother does Yibim, even in a case where there is no, when there is no older brother. It's clearly indicating that Yibim is not limited only to the older brother. Says the Gemara, Who says that the pasuk is talking about a case where the older brother died and the younger brother is left? Maybe we'll explain that the pasuk is speaking about a case. Ve'ema, maybe we'll say the pasuk is talking about the miskatan where the younger brother died. And Amar Rachmana, and the Torah says liyabim b'char, that the older brother should do yibam. Says the Gemara, but we already learned ha'miyak Rachmana eshes achav shlohay v'alamay, and that case is talking about a case where there are only two brothers. And the pasuk says that if the younger brother died after the older brother was born, only after the older brother died, then you do yibam. So we see that the mitzvah yibam doesn't only apply when the younger brother died, it even applies when the older brother died, clearly indicating that the mitzvah yibam is not only on the older brother. But the Gemara doesn't let go. V'ema, maybe what the Torah is saying is kileka b'char, if there's no b'char, kadm katan zacha, then if the younger brother, one of the younger brothers does yibam, it's going to be valid. However, iyika b'char, in a case where there is a b'char in this family after the brother died, and kadm katan, and one of the younger brothers precedes and does yibam with the wife, lo zacha, it will not be a valid yibam, says the Gemara. Amakra, says the Gemara, ki yesh v'achim yachtov. The Torah, when it speaks about the mitzvah yibam, says ki yesh v'achim yachtov. Says the Gemara, huksha yeshivas achim zalazeh. But the pasuk is trying to say, and with that pasuk, is that all brothers are the same, and not that one brother has any more power than the other brothers. And what the Torah is telling us is that whoever does the yibum, the halacha is his yibum will be considered a valid yibum. And clearly, it's indicating that it's not only limited to the bechor. Ve'ema, but the Gemara still asks, iyeke bechor, then when does a bechor lahada godol? Then we look for him to do the yibum. Kileke bechor, but let's say there is no bechor, then we still have a number of brothers. There's no obligation to specifically ask the oldest of those brothers. Ein chozim etz agadol. There's no need to go to the oldest of the remaining brothers. But ask the Gemara, Allah matani abakshisha. Abakshisha actually told us, mitzvah gadol yabim. There's a mitzvah for the oldest brother to yibim. Loi rotza, if he refuses to do so, holchen etz lakotin. We go to a younger brother. Loi rotza, and he doesn't want to do yibim, chaytzim etzal gadol. So we see that we always go after the oldest brother. But why? Answers the Gemara Bechor. Because we compare the oldest brother who's remaining to the Bechor. Ma Bechor. What makes the Bechor special? Becharosoi garmaloi. Af gadol, from the remaining brother, the fact that he's the oldest, gadoso garmaloi. Says the Gemara, Ve'ema, maybe what the pasuk's teaching us, Kimiyabim Bechor Lishkol Nachla, if it's the Bechor who's doing the Yibam, then he's going to get the Yerusha of the brother who died. But Kimiyabim Pashut, but if another one of the brothers does the Yibam, then this special rule that the brother who does Yibam gets the Yerusha, Loi Lishkol Nachla, that Allah won't apply. Says the Gemara, that can't be. Because the pasuk, when it speaks about the mitzvah of Yibam, Amakra Yokam Hashem Echav, Vreikam. He should be the one to take over his brother's place. And by him having done Yibam, that's what he's done. Since that's what he's done, it makes every bit of sense that he should be the one to get the Yerusha. Ella, says the Gemara, if we've completely eliminated anything special about the Bechor, so ask the Gemara, Bechor, the Kai, Rechmana, Lamayachasa. So what was the purpose of the Torah teaching us that he's called the Bechor? Says the Gemara, Legrayusa. It's actually not coming to teach us something special. It's just the opposite. Ma Bechor, enet noita beroi kevemuchsuk. Af hai, enet noita beroi kevemuchsuk. There is a halacha that a Bechor, we know, gets a double share in the Yerusha. But even though a Bechor gets a double share in the Yerusha, that halacha that a Bechor gets a double share in the Yerusha was only said by something that the person, somebody is, for example, yashining his father. Somebody is inheriting from his father. So any assets that his father had at the time when he passed away, the Bechor gets a double share. But any assets that he did not have at that time, he doesn't get a double share in. The same thing will be here. Even though the brother who did Yibum gets the share of the brother who passed away, he only gets what that brother had at that time, nothing else. But there's a very big machlokes Rashi and other Rishonim. What does that mean? Rashi says that, let's say the brother died, but when the brother died, his father was still alive. The father of these brothers was still alive. So says Rashi that even though he hasn't died, so the brothers don't have those assets yet as Yerusha, the brother who does Yibum will not only get will get everything that his brother who passed away left over, but not only will he get everything that his brother who passed away left over, he's also going to get a double. He's also going to get the share that his brother will eventually would have gotten from their father when the father passes away. Anything else, of course, Rashi agrees he would not get. Other Rishonim disagree with Rashi, and they say only if the father predeceased the brothers is the halacha, that so the brother who died already had that Yerusha coming to him. That's when the halacha is, says Rashi. It says, say to Rishonim, does this brother, when he was taking the share of his deceased brother, get that as well? But anything else but anything that he actually did not have yet, he doesn't get a share. That doesn't take that all for himself, and that includes if the father dies after the brother who died, then they'll divide it up, and he won't get just entirely take over his dead brother's chelik. Says the Mishnah, Hanitan al Shivcha, if there is rumors about a man who had relations with a Shivcha Kananis, and then the Shtachra, and then this Shivcha Kananis was freed. There were rumors that a man was living with a non-Jewish woman, and then this woman, Nizgaira, that she became a Geyoris, Harez lo yichnas. He should not marry such women. Vimkanas, but if he did marry such a woman, then the halach is Vimkanas emtsim biyodai. And the Mashal points out that why does the Mishnah use the word nitten? That nitten means there are rumors. But he knows the truth, and she knows the truth, that these rumors are false. Even though they're both well aware that these rumors are false, still the halacha of the Mishnah remains. However, says the Mishnah, Hanitan Laishasish, if there are rumors about a woman who's married, who's having an adulterous relationship with a man, Vetziah, and Bitachas Yodai, and Bezdin told the husband to divorce his wife, and then this man that there were rumors had marries her, not only is he not allowed to marry her, the halacha, says the Mishnah, is that Abishakonis Yotza. Our Mishnah says that there were rumors about this man with this woman, he shouldn't marry her. But if he did marry her, they could stay remarried. But the clear indication is that this man who there are rumors about should not marry her. Because then, as the Rishonim explained, the concern is that people are going to think that the Geiris wasn't a true Geiris. That the only reason this woman became a Geiris is in order to meet the man, to be able to marry this Jewish man. So in order to clarify that wasn't what was happening, the halacha teaches us that he shouldn't marry her. But there is no question that her Geiris is a good Geiris. And she's allowed to marry another man. She just should not marry this man. Says the Gemara, her Geiris miyahava. Says the Geiris is a good Geiris. Ask the Gemara, Reminu, the Brisa teaches us, Echet ish in his Geilishem Isha, a man who became a ger in order that he should be able to marry a Jewish woman, vechet isha shenis gael shemish, or a non-Jewish woman who became geyaris in order to be able to marry a Jewish man, vechem mishnis gael shem shulchan melachim, he wants to, the Jewish people are in a good place, and therefore he wants to become a ger because he wants to be part of that. L'shum avdei shleimer, we discussed earlier, the avdei shleimer were individuals who are very powerful, and he wants to be in that group. And in Geirim, Divrei Nechemya. Shari Nechemya Omer, Echa Geir Erayis. Somebody becomes a Geir because he's scared of the lions. Echa Geir Chalomis. Somebody became a Geir because he had a dream that he's supposed to become a Geir. Echa Geir Mordechai Esther. Somebody became a Geir because it was in time of Mordechai and Esther where the Jewish people had such tremendous success. Einim Geirim, the geirus is not valid. Actually, it's geir b'zmanazeh. Asmar b'zmanazeh sakadaitach is the only time when a geirus is considered a valid geirus is in the time of Chazal. El eim kib b'zmanazeh. The geirus is not a valid geirus only in times like now where the Jewish people are not on the top of the world, says the Gemara. Ha'et ma'alo amar v'yitzvah shmu b'amat v'shmei d'raf ha'locha k'divarem kulim geirim heim. So even though a person became a ger for ulterior motives, we see from our Gemara that the gerus indeed is a valid gerus. And that's the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah that as well, that even though we have good reason to be concerned that the gerus was not done for the proper motive, if it was done properly, if the gerus was done properly, it's well. So our Gemara is teaching us that even a person who became a ger because the concern geir erayis, the halacha is the geirus is a valid geirus. So Tosfos asks that throughout Shas, there's a very often a sugya in Shas that discusses the kutim. And the Gemara often discusses if the kutim are considered geir emes or they're considered geir erayis. And the man that says geir erayis with an aleph holds that it's not a good geirus. The reason being because they only became geirim out of fear. And our Gemara says that the Geirus is a good Geirus. So Tosfos answers, there's a fundamental difference. In our Gemara, the Geir is doing what is acting properly. He might have become a Geir for the wrong reason, but he's doing what he's supposed to do. In the Gemara that's being discussed all over Shas about the Kutim, those Kutim, we learned, continued worshipping Avodah Zarah. A kuti that continues worshipping an avodah zarah is certainly not a good geirus. Says the Gemara that if somebody becomes a geir l'shem ishus, the Gemara is teaching us as long as they meant to do the right thing, the geirus is a valid geirus. So ask the Gemara, yachil chatchila nami. Why does our Mishnah say that he should not be allowed to marry that woman? If this woman is doing what she's supposed to be doing, then why may they not be married? Answers the Gemara for a different reason. Mishum de Ravasi, because of what Ravasi taught us. Don Ravasi, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Hosam mucha ikshas peh velazis vasayim. People should not, you should not create a situation where people will be speaking about you badly. And this is going to be a situation where people are going to speak about badly about you. The Ramosha in the Tshuva discusses that Rashi explains that marrying this woman after conversion is not proper because all that marriage accomplishes is that it confirms the rumors concerning what he did wrong with her. The Ramban says that you're not allowed to marry, that they're not allowed to get married, even if the rumors are proven correct. And asks the Ramban, why should they not be allowed to get married? Because their rumors are true. So Moshe explains that one is not allowed to promote rumors and gossip, even if it actually happened. In other words, from Rashi it seems that the concern is that if he's going to get married, that's only going to cause the rumors to be greater. But if the rumors are true, what should we be worried about? Asked the Ramban. Says Ramosha that the Pasuk says Ashrei kisui chot. Even if a person did an aveira, the aveira is not something that we want publicized. So yes, they did have this relationship. And now she becomes a geyrus, and like we're learning, she's becoming a proper geyrus. But it will only confirm and publicize the aveira, and that's something that we shouldn't want to have. And Ramosha discusses a case where there was a Jewish man who was civilly married with a non-Jewish woman for several years before she converted. Says Ramosha that in this case, the concern that we have for such a marriage doesn't apply. This man lived publicly with his non-Jewish wife for several years. So his sin is well known and everybody knows it. By him not marrying her, or yes marrying her, it wouldn't in any way make the sin more or less public. And therefore, says Ramosha, that in this case, when the woman became a geyrus, it's obvious that she did it for the tribe purpose. Because if she was doing it for the sake of marriage, they were already married. And he says, under these circumstances, they could remain married under such circumstances. However, the question Ramosha says is we have to think about another issue. And that is, obviously, the husband is not a religious man. He was living with a non-Jewish woman without a proper Jewish marriage. And if a woman is becoming a geyrus, says Ramosha, and it's clear that she's not going to be living a proper lifestyle, a religious lifestyle, then he puts into question the entire geyrus. There's an interesting tshuva about this similar question in the Divrei Chaim, where the Divrei Chaim and Evan Ezer, Chelek Bey Simon Lamed Vav, discusses that a soldier went off to war, and he came home with a non-Jewish wife, and then she became a geyrus. And the question was, how do we look at that marriage? And one of the considerations that Divrei Chaim has is that if we're going to tell this man that if we're not going to let this man stay with his wife, he's just going to say, so I'll become irreligious and I'll live with a non-Jewish wife. Let her convert and we'll both be Orthodox religious people. The Divrei Chaim says that maybe we will allow such a geyrus to continue. Tana Rabbanan continues the Gemara, Mekabim Geirim L'mayis Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, we're not going to accept Geirim. Ki Yitzba, says the Gemara, Kibble Geirim, Lo B'mei David, Lo B'mei Shlomo. Geirim weren't accepted in the time of David HaMelech and time of Shlomo, when Klal Yisrael was on top of the world. Amar B'lozer, my craw, what is the basis for this in a pasuk? Says the Gemara, Hein Gor Yogur Efes Ma'isi, Mi Yogur Gor Itcha Alecha Yipol. The pasuk says, Hein Gor, somebody comes to become a geyrus, when do we accept his geyrus? Efes ma'osi, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with us. However, migar itcha, that nobody's with us in this time, hu alayach yipol, we accept his geyrus. But if it's a time where it's clear that we're on top of the world, av idach, loy, we don't accept it. So the pasuk pshat is, that why don't we accept geyrus under those circumstances? Because under those circumstances, the concern is real that the geyrus is not sincere. He wants to be part of the successful Klal Yisrael. But the Michtam Eliyahu, Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler Zitzal, has a different shot. He says that in this world, it is our responsibility to constantly grow in our Avodas Hashem. So we Jews are on one Madrega, and the people who aren't yet Jewish also aren't yet on the Madrega, and we're all climbing the ladder together to reach the goal. However, when Mashiach comes, Klal Yisrael will already have reached that top of the ladder. They've already reached the peak, and the Geirim can't then catch up, and therefore we don't accept Geirim at that time. I actually saw a very, very powerful verb. That just like we don't accept Geirim now, when Mashiach will come, it'll also be too late for Bali Tshuva to be accepted. Because the whole purpose of doing Tshuva, it will also be obvious that when somebody at that point had the Tshuva, that the Tshuva is not sincere, because it's a world where everybody's doing Tshuva. And therefore, under those circumstances as well, it will not be a world to accept, it will not be a world in which we accept Bali Tshuva, says the Maril. Hanitan Leshes, this we learned in the Mishnah, if somebody, there was a rumor about a man that he was having a relationship with a married woman. Amarav, Adim. It's only a concern if there were Adim that they had that type of a relationship. So the question is, what does Adim mean? A big machlokes rishonim. Some explain, it doesn't mean Adim that actually saw them having relationship. Actually, what it means is Adim kiur, that they saw that they were acting inappropriately. Or even if they saw that they had relationship, we can't be certain that it was done willingly. Maybe it was done ba'oinus. That's the only time that we accept that we make him get divorced. Amar Rav Sheshes, Amina, I comment, Kina Yim V'Shachav Rav Amal HaShmatza. Rav must have said this when he was half asleep. The Tanya, Hanitan Leshish V'Tziu Al Yadoi, V'Nizgash V'Tachsi Yadoi. If somebody, there were rumors that she was having an improper relationship, and therefore she was told that she can't live with her husband anymore, and they got divorced. Imkanas, if the other person marries her, lo yotzi, they don't have to get divorced. So the Mefarshim ask, how did Rav Sheshes use such a very sharp wording, kinayim v'shachav rav? He must have said this when he was asleep. So one pshat that I saw from the Chavos Yor, we quoted this before, is that a Talmud is allowed to speak that way about a Rebbe, a Rebbe is allowed to speak that way to a Talmud in order to encourage him to learn properly. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that it was actually a compliment. He was saying, you're such a great Talmud Chacham, you would have never have said something like this only if you were half asleep. Says the Gemara, hey Chidami, but let's understand exactly what is the case. If there are Edim, if somebody else comes and the rumor stopped, my Hava, why would she be allowed to remain with him? She's not allowed to be married to the Baal and to the Boil. Elalav, if there are Edim, the woman who has such a relationship can't be married to her husband, nor to the man she had the relationship with. Edalaka Edim, says the Gemara, Tamad Asa Achav Afsakala Koila. From here we see that somebody else got married. That's when the rumor stopped. Halav Hachi, even if that weren't the case, and there was nothing in between, Mafkinan. So even if there was no Edis, we can't allow them to remain remarried. Amalach Rav, Huadan Afgav Deloy Asa Achar Vafsakala Koila. Even if the rumor did not stop, Iike Edim Mafkinan, if there are Edim, we don't let them remain married. Ileka Edim, but if there are no Edim, Loi Mafkinan, we don't make them get separated. Vachkomer. And this is the way to Pshat. The Afgav the Os Acher, Vafskala Kela, that even though the rumor stopped, Lechatchil Lo Yichnas, they shouldn't get married. But if they did get married, then the Aloch is they remain married unless there are Edim that say that you shouldn't get married. And not only couldn't they get married, they have to stop being married.